While I'm getting the PowerPoint ready, would you turn with me to the book of Luke? Luke chapter 10, please. Luke chapter 10. On the outside, when we're empty on the inside, or when we are full of anxiety, worry and fear and pride, if we try to serve out of that, and I think that's what we're going to talk about tonight in our lesson this evening with emotionally healthy discipleship. Notice the definition we come back to is what the goal is. Notice it says an emotionally healthy disciple slows down to be with Jesus, goes beneath the surface of their life to be deeply transformed by Jesus, and offers their life as a gift to the world for Jesus. And it is in that order, by the way. We are transformed by the renewing of our minds. We are transformed by the grace of Jesus every day. And therefore, we are able to go out into a dark world and to pour out for them. And one of the things that I have really meditated and so it really comes back to this part of discipleship. And this is a little bit of intro, honestly, the lesson tonight. And then we'll have one more intro lesson before we get into the seven main points of the study. But nevertheless, it is simply talking about how we can make sure that our cup is filled each day as we slow down to meet with our Lord and get below the surface and get away from just the admiral coat, as the illustration I used, with just painting over the rusty areas of our life. We want more than that. We want to be growing and be effective disciples. So notice with me here, we've already discussed one of the failures that undermine deep discipleship. We tolerate emotional and spiritual immaturity. The idea of we no longer measure our love for God by the degree to which we love others. And we know that God most certainly states that, doesn't He, in His Word. That's where we measure our love for God. How much do you love the people around you? Not just the people that are nice to you, but the people that bug you and your enemies and irritate you and have wronged you and offended you. That will be a way that we determine how much we're loving the Lord. And we looked at those verses. In fact, I may just look at one here from last week while we're just talking about it. He says, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar, for he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And also 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And you know, he dealt with the Pharisees on that, because the Pharisees kind of prided themselves on being the elite of the religious crowd. But quite frankly, Jesus confronted them with something that really, really shook them up, if you will. Because he says, listen, you're going to love your enemy. It's easy to love those that love you, but what I teach and what my life teaches is it goes against that which is natural. But nevertheless, we also separate emotional health from spiritual health. And we discuss that in some degree. We'll get into more of that. But this is a verse that we're familiar with. It speaks about the whole being. We know that man is made up of two main parts. You know, we are made up of the material and immaterial, the material being the body, that the physical, and then the immaterial, the soul and the heart of man. And those are both spiritual, okay? The body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Wouldn't you say that it's something that God calls His house is spiritual? It's important. And so that goes along with our emotions, our body, and of course our spirit walking with the Lord, our communication with Him. We want all that to be healthy, because it is one. And God is one. And we are made in the image of God. We're image bearers. And we certainly strive to want to be good image bearers in that way. But that the verse says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to get sidetracked on this, but I just want to throw this out there. Folks, our New Testament says a lot about the coming of Jesus Christ. And that's something I think we need to strive to think about at some point every day, that it could be today. And we certainly want to serve the Lord with that in our heart and mind. And God says it'll do something very supernaturally in us as we truly think about that. And, you know, sometimes it's not, well, let's just be honest. It's not really natural to think about, is it? You know, I've been around it, and you have too. Maybe some around you, like even tonight, but maybe sometimes somebody's been around you say, the Lord could be today. The Lord could come back today. And sometimes we're kind of like, yeah, you know, because, you know, honestly, let's just be honest. Sometimes we really don't believe that it could be today. But let's just be gentle with each other here. The Holy Spirit's gentle with us. Let's ask God to get us to the point where we do believe that it could be today, genuinely. And let that change in our hearts, because if we live well, we will leave well. We are to love the Lord and not only Him with all our heart, and with our soul, mind, and strength, but then the Bible goes on to talk about loving our neighbor as ourselves. But tonight we will go into the second part of a failure that undermines deep discipleship. It's a, you know, it really hinders, if you will. If you didn't want to use the word failure, you could say a hindrance to deep transforming discipleship. And that is, we emphasize doing for God over being with God. We're all busy people, aren't we? Often, I was preparing for this lesson, and I didn't plan on saying that, but Miss Kathy asked me how I was doing just a minute ago, and many times we all answer the same way. When somebody asks you how you're doing, a lot of times you'll say, doing good, just busy. We're doing well, but just busy. And there's a lot of truth to that, right? We are busy. And by the way, I want to make this clear. It's not sin to be busy. All right? The problem is when the busyness gets in the way of being transformed by Jesus. Because we're so focused on doing, then we forget and neglect the being aspect. My mentor and first real pastor of any length where I was baptized, John Stevens, he used to give the acrostic for busy. B-U-S-Y stood for bound under Satan's yoke. Because many times, and like Corrie Ten Boom said, this quote is very convicting, but she said, if Satan cannot make you bad, he will make you busy. And what does that mean? It means we get too busy to really slow down enough to let God transform us inwardly and to grow in Him. And so we just want to be aware of that as God's people. And I, like I've told you guys at the beginning, this has been so good for me, to help me spiritually. By the way, how many of you, just out of curiosity, were able to take the self-assessment test? I know I took it, maybe several. If you haven't done that, I would encourage you to do that. Hopefully it was revealing in some areas maybe you already were aware of. But if you need one of those, I believe we have some in the foyer. But that just, he hits about six sections, and it helps us to see where we are emotionally in our spiritual maturity. And so those are available in the foyer. I'd encourage you to do that. It's not a okay, I found the missing key of my life type assessment. It's just a tool, you know. I don't, you know, you got to be careful of those things. I don't advertise things like that. But I do know, I do believe in helps, you know, tools, practical things in that way to help us. But nevertheless, let's look at this. We emphasize doing for good over being with God. I had you turn to Luke chapter 10. You know the classic passage of Martha and Mary. I've alluded to it just even in this study. But notice there, Luke 10 and then verse 39. I'll get there. You've already beat me there. So it says, and she had a sister called Mary. Martha had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And of course, the picture there is Mary is worshiping the Lord while Martha is very busy doing for the Lord. So again, we have Mary being with Jesus. We have Martha doing for Jesus. And we get to the end of this, and she, of course, Martha was just really irritated, and which is a sign of we're too busy when there's a lot of irritability there. We're not being transformed. But nevertheless, Jesus answered and said unto her in verse 41, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. What is that? That's slowing down. That's sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing him and communing with him. And Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So how do we detect if we're too busy? Well, I read these off a list that was given. I can't even remember the person's name, but I thought they were certainly accurate in many ways. Some areas that you can detect you're too busy are whatnot, not slowing down enough to be really transformed by the Lord is irritability. It just things irritate you very easily. Hypersensitivity, you get offended very easily. There's restlessness. You can't just be quiet and calm and be calm and relax. You always got to be doing something. Maybe it's being fidgety. Maybe always got to be scrolling on the phone or always on the social media or internet or always have to be watching the TV. I mean, something's always got to be like there occupying you instead of just some quietness, you know, and calmness and reflection that you have. And again, all those things I named are okay, watching TV, social media, you know, I'm not preaching against that, but it's bad when we look to those things. Compulsive overworking, you just, that's where you get your rush, that's where you get your adrenaline. You just compulsive, I gotta work one more hour, I gotta do this one more project, I just gotta do it. Emotional numbness, that's where you basically are so busy in this life and it becomes a rat race that honestly you begin to lose the capacity to feel, the capacity to be empathetic and sympathetic and the capacity to show compassion to people that are hurting. It's just, it happens more than we like to admit. But you also lose the wonder of it all. You know, that goes back to, boy, there are times in our spiritual lives where we just, wow, God, wow, you've done it again. Lord, you're just so good. There's just that wonder and it's real that can be lost because of emotional numbness. Gratitude begins to fade. You find more things to be critical of than thankful for. And the list goes on, of course. Then you have escapist behaviors. Just anything you can get away to and just escape, things that need to be truly talked about, dealt with, worked through, just real life, because in reality, we're humans, we have things, struggles, hurts and harms and miscommunications, and you know, we have them, don't we? they abound many times, and we gotta, you know, an emotionally, spiritually healthy person will not run from that. Will seek to be to see, okay, what can we do here? Disconnected from our basic needs. If we're too busy, I mean, our diet, our health can start failing because we're not taking care of our bodies, the temple of the Holy Spirit, exercise, you know, no focus there. We lose good work ethic. We start getting lazy, cutting corners. Then there's no rest. Finding days and or hours that you can specifically rest and relax, getting good sleep. I heard in a message just as I was preparing for this that anyway, I guess I don't know who did the research, so I can't quote this, but it sounded like it was pretty legit, but said that before the invention of the light bulb, the average hours of sleep was 11 hours. For the North American, 11 hours. And so, you know, these people went to bed at 5 p.m., you know. And so it just, you know, we, of course, hey, some would say, well, boy, I wish we could get back to that. I don't. I'm thankful for light. Amen. Getting back to sleeping more, yes, that probably would be good. But I'm thankful for the technology. But I think one of the things, if we're not careful, we certainly can, you know, deprive ourselves of that sleep that God wants us to have. And we certainly need margin in our life that's creating space just to catch your breath and especially to spend time with the Lord and make sure it's not all about doing. And then fellowship with the brethren and being together with God's people. I think that's so important. That's why we do emphasize our four services that we have each week. It's we don't want to cut that short. We want that to be important. We want that because it's purposeful to be together, to hear from the Lord, from the Word of God being preached and taught, and then the singing of, like we did tonight, Jesus, I'm resting in you. And then being able to pray together, like we'll do here in just a couple minutes. My time has gotten away from me. So we emphasize the doing, the running, but then secondly here, we notice when being is emphasized, we slow down. Our work for God must be nourished by a deep interior life with God. Slowing down to spend intimate time with Jesus will allow us to spend and be spent and have plenty left over. Now, this right here was the example diagram or whatnot for the Mary Martha approach. You got doing for God totally outweighing the being with God. And I believe what a healthy disciple is where that scale is balanced. Evenly. We spend time with our Lord, but it's not those things where you got the monk syndrome, where you go crawl in a cave somewhere and all you do is read your Bible and pray. And so you spend that would be an imbalance as well. So you find that sweet balance of being with the Lord, and it's so important. And I believe that's why I say we gotta be careful not to make excuses and different things why I can't spend time with the Lord and whatnot. Because as we look at believers in the past, we know it's possible because God told us it was. But then we also see it practiced by believers in the past. Paul said this. He says, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. He's talking to the church in Corinth. He says, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. How does he do that? How does he say that? Somebody? I believe this man was not perfect. We know that. You can even, in that same chapter, he's like, Lord, can you get this thorn out of me? He said, I'm dying, Lord. Can you remove the thorn? And of course, God told him, no, my grace is sufficient for thee. And he said, well, let the power of God rest on me. But nevertheless, he's not perfect. But one of the things, I do believe his heart was just so in love with the Lord Jesus. I do believe he had a growing communion, daily communion, where his heart was flooded with communion with Jesus. And I think I'll just close with this, that when we disciple others, we are essentially, and when we're trying to influence others, we essentially give away who we are. And that is specifically who we are in God. And that is the importance of daily time with the Lord, setting that time aside. Don't let anything interrupt it. Don't let the TV, that we know emergencies come about, and you know good and well, I'm not talking about that context. I'm talking about, folks, we just need to get back to just spending some sweet time with our Lord in prayer, learning silence, listening to Him as we meditate upon the Word of God. It's something that we need revival in. And so I'm going to close there this evening, and we'll break up in small groups and discuss this. There's a question on the back, but God may lead you in a totally different direction. Group leaders, I encourage you just to talk about some things that how we can grow through this, and practical things that you have found in your life, or even your struggle. You say, "Look, I'm this is an area I could use some advice in," and let's certainly try to help each other. Well, let's pray. Lord, I do thank you for just the opportunity to be here tonight, and Lord, to grow as disciples. We want this to be a transforming time, Lord, and we ask Holy Spirit that you would guide as we yield to you tonight through this study and this lesson, and then even as we meet in prayer, and even as we go home this week. I pray this would stick, God, in my heart. That I would let my life as a husband and my life as a daddy and my life as a pastor and as a Christian, as a neighbor, God, I pray that it would be an overflow of my life with you. And Lord, I pray you'd help us with this. We need your help. We're so busy, Lord. And I just trust that you will give us great victory as we trust you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.